Welcome to another Sunday evening with yours truly, Brother Daniel, here at Zion's Trumpet. How's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Giants had stumbled and fell yesterday, but got right back up. Doing good now. That's good, Johnny. Good for you. Amen. Good. Caymans is good. Oh, it was nice to have you down here, Caymans. It was a nice visit. We were all blessed. Well, anybody have anything to share tonight before we start off? Anything on anybody's heart? Looks like Sister Irma has something to share. Hang on here. Go ahead, Sister Irma, you got the mic.
All right, Dan. I would like to comment. First, I want to say to commend that. Sorry, I missed him. Next time, commends. I would like to comment, Dan, on last week's program before you begin, because it was such a blessing to me. I thank you again, Johnny, for your testimony and song. You have come a long way, and I do rejoice with you. Praise the Lord. And your songs were edifying too, Dan. Quote, "He is our fortress and our loving Father," unquote. And I believe Andrew mentioned about the other song, "I Only Want to Boast in Him." I just felt the anointing, and I was so blessed. Praise his name. The word your mom gave was a great admonition and truly anointed with wisdom and encouragement. Quote, "I too only live to see his kingdom come in. Nothing in this world do I desire more," unquote. Before your program Sunday, I was reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, and when I read verse 7, quote, "Ever learning but never coming to the truth," unquote, I thought this is exactly what happened to several of my friends. They talked a word, kept reading the word, but never received the knowledge of the truth. And I saw how this opened the door to many religious spirits, which brought them under the spirit of Antichrist. I was so glad you expounded more deeply on that verse. And yes, the truth is, quote, "It is not what we know, but what we obey that determines our destiny. O-B-E-Y, that means a lot to me, because obedience, I found, is better than sacrifice. In your message, you spoke about truth in the inner parts, truth about ourselves, reality of our own condition, which now brings me to my surgery. Just a little testimony. I will be 89 in September, and most of my life, God favored me with very good health. So when I realized I was in need of an operation, I was a bit surprised, and my thought was, at my age, no operation, I'll ride it out, so to speak. When I shared this with others there in Mifflintown, I received such a confirmation, and it was so real to me that God had a reason for this. So I really know in my heart that he did reveal some truth in the inner parts to me, and I don't believe I would have otherwise realized that. I can say I truly felt the peace of God, which passes all, A-L-L, stands out to me, all understanding. I just experienced that through it all, that Philippians 4:7. I know not what tomorrow holds, but God is faithful to carry us through if we continue to dwell in the spiritual ark provided for us, Psalms 91. And in closing, I want to thank everyone very much for their prayers, flowers, and cards of encouragement. And that's all. Thank you, Dan.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks for the testimony, Irma. That's good. Hallelujah. Okay, anybody else before we get started here? Anybody in the room? Looks like Cameron has something. Okay, come on in, Cameron.
All right. Hello, all. I don't have too much to share here. We've been working on the barn. We're adding on again, so just something real quick here. I'd like to share something that got me all fired up last night, and I think it was Dan who mentioned a few verses in Proverbs that I had no idea even existed. So I was like, wow, man, this is some pretty serious stuff, especially in the times we're living in. So if I may read these verses quick, Proverbs chapter 1, 23 through 29, which say, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord." It's grieving to see the people who refuse to obey God, even though they think they are, and refuse to put on the harness of the Lord. And then they wonder why, when they call upon the Lord for help, he doesn't respond. It makes me think about the tornado that happened in Oklahoma a few days ago. I was reading the other day about the people who were asking their pastors why and how God could let this happen to the innocent people in Moore, Oklahoma, to which some gave good answers, but however, I believe the best answer you could find are those few verses in Proverbs. They think that the kind of God they serve would not do those things, and they're right. Their God wouldn't do those things. But you can be sure the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God we serve, does do these things, and he laughs about it too. And I just think, and that's such a very sobering word to see that. It really touched me there, the verse in Proverbs. So thank you all. That's all I had to share.
Amen. All right. Good word, Cameron. You got something? Come on. Joey's got some, looks like.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Cameron. That was pretty good. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Irma, for your testimony there. That was really good, too. I was going to read a scripture here that I was thinking about this week. It says in John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, "And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." This week I was thinking about Jesus cleansing the temple. He made a whip, or what the King James Version calls a scourge of small cords, and used it to drive people out of the temple, according to that scripture I just read. It is very sobering because Jesus got angry, very angry in the spirit, in cleansing and sanctifying his Father's house, that he literally got physical and used the scourge that he had made, overturned and flipped tables upside down with all the people's money and merchandise falling down to the ground, and drove the money changers out. As I was meditating on this and reading a few related verses in Psalms, the Word was kind of witnessing with my spirit that that because of Jesus' love for his Father and zeal for his house, he rose up in holy violent indignation to do whatever necessary to drive out whatever that was defiling the house of God. You know, let me just mention this real quick. I am so glad that Mama Annabelle keeps reminding us about God's plan, and guess what? It's never boring. Whenever she talks about the high calling and going on to perfection in Tabernacle's truth, I get excited in my spirit because she delivers it fresh all the time. Thank you, Ma. You're a true mother in the spirit who went through a lot in following the Spirit of God all these years with patience and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So for many years until now, and for a short time, more, God has been raising up a people that would tabernacle the Father's presence. There is a third feast message that people are responding to that's making them zealous for the Father's house like Jesus did. They will make a whip of small cords, and they will use it spiritually. because of the wickedness and lawlessness that's reproaching God day and night all around us. People that are longing to be close to God will have a strong witness in their spirit that separation from everything and everyone that's on Satan's side is critically and fatally necessary in order to cleanse themselves. Mom and I was talking after I got home from work the other day, and she was telling me about God giving people the spirit of His Son that cries out, Abba, Father. And that is where it has to come from. Our separation from all defilements. Our separation from people and family members that's out to sell and merchandise our fellowship with God by defiling our temple, our souls and spirits that God choose to dwell in. It has to come from a longing to be with the Father. And that is what Tabernacles is about. It is going on to being perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect, as Jesus said. So we can have a communion and fellowship with Him, along with Jesus, as sons. Now, if our separation is only in the basis of doctrine or good and bad religious traditions and behaviors that, you know, we can't stand, so therefore we'll separate and look for better behaving Christians to fellowship with, then we're only 2 inches deep. But if there is something in your spirit that's crying out, Abba, Father, you will get violent in your faith, and the zeal of the tabernacle of God will consume and eat you up to explode in holy indignation, causing you to turn tables over and whip everything out and drive them out of your life for the sake of the sanctification of the Father's house in your heart. It says in Psalm 69, verse 9, which is where that John chapter 2:17 came from, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. I remember about a year after I separated from my unbelieving wife, I was still in Hawaii at that time, and somebody told me that my ex-wife told this person somehow in the conversation when that person mentioned about God to my ex-wife, she said to that person, F that God. When you rise up in the zeal of God for His holy tabernacle in your life, you will suffer reproach. You will be hated, and they whom you separate from will murder and assassinate you and your character in the Lord one way or another. They actually want to kill God in their reproach, but since they can't, they will kill you for being faithful and committed to His present living truth. That's why David said, the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. So let us choose this day whom we will serve. The day of the Lord is rapidly approaching, and time is shortening, and this day of evil is taking a lot of Christians out because so many are in relationship and fellowship with Canaanite men and women and business partners and friends, and they are being taken out of the straight and narrow path of life until the candle of God's revelation is fully put out in their lives. We need the zeal of the Lord in us to declare that enough is enough. I declare where the line is drawn, and it's right here, right now, in God's righteousness and justice, and get up and go on in the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. So anyways, that's all I was meditating this week. Back to Dan.
Amen. Good word, Joey. Very needful. Anybody else have anything to share? Oh, good. Mom has something there, so she's... hang on a second.
Hi, everyone. I do have a praise in my heart tonight for God's faithfulness. He's been so faithful to us this week. And I'd like to put an emphasis on something tonight. We sing a song, we're going away, we've never been before. That's so real to me, that we're going away we've never been before. We're just about at the end of the 2,000 or more years of the age of the dispensation of the grace of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God's next great move will be the time of trouble that will bring us into another age. The millennial age, the 1,000-year millennial age, will be the rule and reign of Jesus Christ as King of Kings, with the overcomers who will sit in Jesus' throne with Him as He sits in His Father's throne. Revelation 3:21 says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne." And just as Jesus prepared his disciples to pass from the age of the law to the age of grace, so he is now preparing a people who have ears to hear and hearts to receive to pass from this present age of grace to the millennial age. There are those who are feeling this divine call in their hearts today, and it doesn't matter what others say. We sing, "You can't go another way but be separate and untarnished from the world." It doesn't matter what others do. If his calling is on you, come ye out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God is still telling the disciples of Jesus to take up their cross, deny themselves, and follow him into the next age. We are going a way we've never been before. And while Satan is busy bringing in the one world government under him and his cohorts, his reign of horror, terror, and hell, our God is busy preparing a people for himself. I'm so glad I'm one of those people, and I praise his wonderful name. Last week, as we ministered to someone, through all the ministering that went on, the Lord made a truth very real to my heart. In 1 Samuel 14th chapter, there is a verse that says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." This was Samuel speaking to Saul when he disobeyed God by not destroying completely the Amalekites and their king Agag. Samuel's last line was, "Because you have rejected the Lord, he has rejected you." What a terrible fate to have the Lord reject us because we have disobeyed him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. There's an account in 2 Kings chapter 5 about a Syrian named Nahum who was a leper. And because of some of his expeditions, he found favor with God. And an Israelite maiden who was captured and became maid to his wife told him about a prophet in Israel who could heal his leprosy. So he went to Elijah to be healed. And Elijah told him to dip 7 times in the Jordan River and he would be healed. Naaman was wroth and went away. He said, "I thought surely he would come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his hand over this place and renew me." He mentioned 2 rivers in Damascus that were better than the Jordan. But he finally was persuaded by the men that were with him to do as Elijah said, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. And that's what God's asking us to obey. Just to obey. Sometimes it doesn't look like anything is going to happen. But God's asking us to be obedient. And that's what he's calling us to today, to obedience. And when God tells us to obey something and we don't obey him, we can't go any further with him. We're finding that out dealing with certain people. You can't go on with God unless you obey him. Shalom.
Good dialogue. That's very good. Okay, let's try and get Johnny on here. Go ahead, Johnny, you take the mic.
Well, my little testimony here is small in length, but as far as spiritual truth, it's very huge gain to me. The Lord knows that I enjoy it, and it helps me understand spiritual truths when he shows me a natural event in the natural, so to speak, to show a spiritual truth. In this little situation where I disobeyed something I knew the Lord had told me a while back, but it didn't sink in. But the Lord did use, I actually saw, this is the natural part the Lord showed me this week, is I found a snake skin and actually saw the snake. And I believe the Lord really showed me that, be careful. I should have been careful. He showed me this natural thing and now be watchful because you're being set up. Well, I did and I was, but the Lord corrected me. And I'm so glad for that, because it's just like, I'm learning of the war, and that's why I need to pay attention in the Spirit, continually seek his wisdom and guidance, and many times just stop and ask him, is this right? So that's what I learned this week is pray, ask, seek, knock. He's always there, and I have to always remember that and get myself in line and walk a little more careful. And that's my little testimony for this week, and it is back to you, Dan.
Thanks for sharing that. Good for you. You got something, Seth?
Yeah.
Hang on a second here. We got Brother Seth's going to share something.
Hello, everyone. I had a little something here. It was kind of the same, along the same lines that Cameron shared last night when Dan shared that verse and that. And I'm just going to read it again so it's fresh in that. Proverbs 1, verse 23 through 26. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And you know, I was thinking, meditating on that those verses in that today, and many of the messages that Dan has given, thinking about, and even myself included in that Dan has been constantly saying, you can't ignore the Lord and expect to go on. He's not going to just skip over you and that and let you keep doing living in sin or not separating or whatever the issue is, pride or anything else in your life that you're not giving up. And I was reading the verse in that he's poured out our spirit to us in that, so that way we can ask him what our problem is and get the answer, like Dan's been telling us in that. And he was saying in that because we've refused to listen, he stretched out his hand and we pushed that aside and have set at naught all his counsel in that and his reproof, that he will eventually not listen to us, like Dan said. You know, over the week and that, we've heard people saying that you have plenty of time and that it takes a lot of time and that, but is that a chance worth taking to wait in that, especially if he's been calling you and trying to deal with you? Is it worth pushing aside saying, oh, I can deal with this later, I can deal with that later? Well, the later will become too late very, very soon. As Ma said too in her testimony in that, time's short and it's growing really short. And I was so encouraged last week, whenever her testimony was, that God sees you as perfect when you are obeying everything that he has pointed out to you. Because I don't think I'll be able to live until 86 like she is, and she still says she's trying to press on in that. So I was very blessed by her testimony last week that it's possible to make it, because I don't think there's 86 years left of this world to live in. So I was just really blessed by the verses last night and by Ma's testimony and that. So that was all I wanted to share. Back to Dan.
Amen, Seth. Very good, because time is running out. Anybody else have anything to share before we start? Before I start, I mean. Well, I want to share a song quick tonight. Just myself. The boys are on vacation. They're giving everybody a break. But I want to sing a song because it was on my heart because what's been happening here, what's going on this week. And it's called I Have Come. I have come to do his will. You know, Jesus said, I've come to do, in the volume of the book it was written me, I have come, O God, to do thy will. And that should be how we walk, especially if you understand what God's doing in the earth and understand sonship. But unfortunately, just as Christians come to God for their own selfish purposes, and they say, oh, I'm going to be a Christian. As long as I'm a Christian, God will take me to heaven. And while I'm here waiting to go to heaven, I'll have a good time and have everything I want and just keep believing by faith I'll go to heaven. People out here get caught up in the same thing. It's just not the same false doctrine. It seems like very few people say, I've come to do thy will and thy will alone. Not I've come to add thy will to my will after I get what I want. I'm going to do your will as long as you're giving me what I want. No, just do God's will. I have come to do thy will and not my own, period. That's a call to death of everything that's in us and all our relationships and all our goals and all our habits and everything that's wrong in us. It's a call to the cross, and very few people are walking it, even out here. They get the vision, they want the glory, they want the crown, but they're not willing to pay the price. But this is what Jesus, this was his heart. I've come to do thy will and thy will alone. I have come to do thy will. I have come to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me that I have come to do thy will. Offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Through the veil of the flesh, see his life. Do thy will. I have come to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it is written of me that I have come. Start first. I'm going to start with a couple articles I read this week. Just to reiterate some of the things going on in this country. Also, you all heard about that murder over in England where those two black Muslims chopped that guy up in the middle of Main Street in the middle of London, right? You all heard that? These two guys, first they ran, it was a British soldier on leave or off duty or something. They ran over with a car and then they chopped his head off, then they just kept chopping his insides up with a meat cleaver, then drug him out in the road, sat him there, and were bragging about walking around and forth, waving their bloody hands and the hatchet, and telling people to take pictures of him, telling the people right on camera that they're never going to have peace in England until they all become Muslims and so forth. And then the cops arrived. Well, the first cops, there's a level of cops that are in England that can't carry guns, so that level couldn't stop them. There's a second level of police that they carry weapons. So they had to wait 15 or 20 minutes while these guys are parading around the street, bragging about Allah, Muslims, and all that. And finally, the cops with guns got there, and they shot the two guys. And of course, as soon as that happened, there were people who were speaking out against Islam, against terrorism, Islamic extremism, and all that kind of stuff. And what did, you know what the British authorities did, which is the same thing our authorities are going to be doing. They're almost there. There's a little article that says, now, finally, the British authorities are determining to do something serious and decisive in relation to the Woolwich beheading. It says, they have warned, charged, arrested, and released on bail several people for making inflammatory and anti-Muslim comments on Twitter and Facebook. So anybody that speaks against Islam over there, especially this particular murder, are going to jail. They're getting arrested. Says police say people should be careful about what they write on Twitter, as the consequences could be serious. This is what dimitude is. You can't say anything against Islam. So England has become a dimi nation. There's two Islamic creeps murder a British officer right in the middle of London, right in the middle of the street, right in broad daylight, prance around for 20 minutes bragging about it, waiting for the cops to get there, and the people of England are not allowed to say anything against it. It's insane. That's what you're saying. Okay? I want to read you a little background here about this guy's mother. His name was Michael Adebowale, the guy that was talking on all the videos. He says, 22-year-old son of a Christian probation officer and a member of the staff of the Nigerian High Commission was filmed holding a bloody cleaver in his hand after drummer Lee Rigby was butchered in a London street. Friends said he had been a lovely boy, but had become involved in some serious trouble as a teenager, and then turned to Islam. He started mixing with some bad people and became increasingly extreme in his views. His mother, Juliet Abaseyi, a 43-year-old probation officer, went to her friend and neighbor, a 62-year-old security officer, for help about 9 months ago after her son dropped out of university. He is from a strong Christian family, but he is turning to Islam and turning against the family. He is preaching in the streets. He needs spiritual guidance before he radicalizes himself. Another friend, Steve Adabi, who started to accompany with Miss Asabi, said that he was often left in tears after speaking to him on the phone. The boy was giving the mother problems, he said. She said he was in with some bad group and causing a lot of trouble. They brainwashed him. His mother was advised, listen to this, his mother was advised by a neighbor to take him to the head of the Woolwich Mosque for spiritual guidance, okay? So the mother's a Christian, the son was raised a Christian, he starts getting in trouble, rebelling, he turns to Islam. She turns to somebody to help him before he further radicalizes himself, and this guy advises her to take him to the neighborhood mosque for spiritual guidance, all right? It says there he was converted by the head imam and taken for weeks of further training at the center near Cambridge. When he returned, however, he was even more radicalized, and his mother could no longer get through to him. A spokesman for the mosque said they did not know if he attended or had been converted there. Of course, they're lying. She subsequently returned to Nigeria, where she is pursuing a career in politics. So there you go. There's a Christian woman who raised a Christian daughter, raised a Christian son. He starts going to Islam. She doesn't know any better than to send him to a mosque to get straightened out, stop getting radicalized, not just radicalized anymore. And of course, if anybody says anything bad about Islam over in England, they're going to be put in jail. And it's very close to that same thing here. All right. I want to read you two other articles about what's going on in America. These are just little tiny, tiny pieces of the corruption that's going on. Local corruption. You look at all the news today, it's about the big corruption, you know, Benghazi, the IRS gate, the scandal with the tapping the news auditors, news journalists and all that stuff. But this stuff is happening at the high level. I'm talking about stuff at low level, your neighborhood. Because Agenda 21, taking over the United States and putting us all in bondage, is being implemented from the bottom up, not just the top down. And local governments are going crazy and doing things that are just as evil what's going on in the Obama administration.